This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. It's our Brainwave series. Today we're discussing something called neurofibromatosis. It is Neurofibromatosis Awareness Month in the month of May. And joining us, of course, is our neurogeneticist, Dr. Azlina Ahmad Anwar, on her monthly Brainwave series. Joining us also is Noraini Manan, who is an actuarial science lecturer who lives with this condition. We're going to be referring to it as NF because it is a mouthful. But remember, it's neurofibromatosis. Welcome to the show, ladies. How are you today?
Hi. Fine.
Thank you, Kay. Thank you for coming. Noraini, I mean, it's good to have you here.
Thank you for inviting me.
Just a little bit of a background. Neurofibromatosis is considered a rare disease, and it's a genetic condition that causes tumours to grow along your nerves. And the tumours are usually non-cancerous, but may sometimes cause a range of symptoms. So we're going to be having that discussion. Dr. Azlina, you want to tell us a little bit more about neurofibromatosis? So what is it really?
It's a genetic disorder, as you said, that affects this sort of abnormal cell growth. And the growth that happens, or these tumours form along the nervous system and also beneath the skin. So in the brain, in the spinal cord, along the nerves, and as I mentioned, under the skin. And why the skin is also affected is actually the origin of our nervous system is shared with the skin. So that's why we also see some of the symptoms affecting the skin. So there are about three different types. NF1, which is the most common of the three. And then there's NF2, which is about one in 40,000 or so. And then there's a third one, which is called schwannomatosis. And that one, it affects a different type of cell in the nervous system. It's called the Schwann cell. And the Schwann cells are the cells that make the myelin, or sort of the protective sheath that surrounds the axons to enable axons to transmit their information properly.
And all of this happening in the brain, right?
Anywhere along the nervous system, even in the peripheral, meaning, you know...
Because when you refer to myelin, I always think of the brain.
I mean, not all neurons. Some neurons don't have it, but the majority of the neurons will have myelin.
Yeah. Okay. And so the symptoms, as you said, can present in many different ways?
Yeah. So for NF1, so typically that affects the individuals from birth. And they are diagnosed by these, what they call the café au lait spots or macules, whereby there's some discoloration on the skin. And usually, I mean, everyone has some pigmentation, right? But these individuals, they have, you know, multiple, more than six, for example, and they are usually more than 1.5 centimeters in diameter. And then they also have other things like they tend to have some growth in their iris, and some of them may also have a larger head circumference. And then as the condition develops, they may also have an abnormal development of the spine. So the doctors will kind of perhaps suspect based on the café au lait spots, and then they'll sort of monitor the child as they develop. And then later, they can either get diagnosed by biopsy or they can go for genetic testing.
So it's very much a gene disorder then?
Yes. So for NF, you can have families where you have multiple affected family members. And this is typically due to where they have inherited the condition from their parents and from their ancestors. And just one copy of the abnormal gene is enough to cause the condition. So that's known as an autosomal dominant pattern of inheritance. So alternatively, you can have some affected individuals who don't have any family history whatsoever, but they still have an F. And how that can happen is somewhere along the line in the germ cells, either in the father's germ cell or the sperm or in the mother's germ cell in the egg, there was a change that happened in that particular gene. And then just so happened those were the ones that were fertilized. Then the child is born. So in those conditions, we call it de novo, meaning it's new, it's a new mutation. So then that's why you don't have any other family members, because it just happened for that particular child.
Very spontaneously.
A spontaneous change, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Noraini, you want to share your journey with us? I mean, when were you diagnosed with neurofibromatosis, and how have you, you know, managed it since then?
The first time I know that I have an F1 at the age of 33 when I go for a biopsy from a clinic, and once confirmed, so actually the growth is small, so I do nothing first until it grows bigger and bigger. And at that time, I search for a treatment, and the doctor said that the best is to do a surgery on that. So that's the first time lah I know that I have an F. And mine is an F1 that when I search, it is said that the NF1 gene is located on chromosome number 17. So the chromosome is affected. For NF1, there's no cure. The first thing that doctor said, there's no cure. So they just monitor the growth on my body. Mm-hmm. And luckily, I have only one tumor on my groin. So I just monitor it. And I've gone through 6 operations. The 6th one successfully cut off the tumor. It is a benign tumor, but the NF still there. It's just that I have to monitor it so that the growth won't be there anymore.
Why 6 operations, Noraini? I mean, I'm just imagining a benign growth and just one operation will do. You can remove it, right?
That's everybody wants to know why. Because NF1 and the tumor, they have a very long root. Very long root. So the doctor said that they have to cut off all the roots so that it won't grow anymore. But usually, the first doctor said that only surface. So they cut off the surface only. But the root is still there. So that's why it keep on growing. Until when I go to the HKL, I get one specialist. Mm-hmm. So he told me that I have to cut a lot of roots inside my body, inside the legs. So I have gone through 3 hours operation and warded for 1 month. And the stitches, 33 long stitches. Okay. I take a lot of time to recover. 1 month in the ward and 1 month to learn to walk again.
You know, I'm just curious, the root from that one growth, Dr. Hazlina, it extended to all over the body? Is that so what Noraini is saying?
So I think the roots refer to the cells that are still there, that are able to still divide continuously. Because it's cancer-like in the sense that these cells have acquired this property to just divide and divide and divide. And so that's why they form this tumor. So they're benign because they don't metastasize, they don't move elsewhere. But, you know, because you can imagine if you have a growth inside your body, it impacts on the nerve, it impacts on other organs. Yeah. And for example, for the NF2 condition, that can also cause hearing problems and also balance because it impacts on the nerves that are controlling that.
Okay, and you can be diagnosed at any stage. Symptoms would surface any time.
Mm. You have to go see the doctor first.
But before the age of 33, Noraini, you had no symptom.
It's normal. There's no growth, anything. It starts at the age of 33. But my friends, they have a certain different ages. They have 5 years, they have 10 years, they have 20 years. Then the growth is getting aggressively grow on them.
Yeah, I think that's sort of fairly typical with the NF, whereby although you were born with the abnormal gene, but it has what's called variable symptoms. So even within a family, you may have different family members who have different levels of severity. So that's probably why Noraini, she was born, she had the gene from birth. But for her, it took a long time for it to start becoming expressed or showing the symptoms.
And there could have been a chance where Noraini could have been carrying the genes and it never would have flared or surfaced at all.
For NF, I think at some point it would have happened.
Maybe NF1 is like that, but NF2 is not. NF2, you start with worst case, right?
So symptoms present much earlier. Yeah. Okay. We're discussing neurofibromatosis in our Brainwave series with Dr. Hazlina Ahmad Anwar, neurogeneticist. When we come back, we'll find out more about what is the prognosis of a condition like this, what is the prevalence globally, and what's happening in Malaysia. The fact that we are recognizing it as a rare disease now in terms of genes, and we do know it's a genetic condition that causes tumours to grow along your nerves. What are we actually doing about it? Coming up next on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon and welcome back. I'm Meera Sivasodhi. In our Health and Living segment, it is our Brainwave series. We're discussing neurofibromatosis. It is a mouthful. Yes, I know. You have, in short, you have NF1, you have NF2, and you've also got a condition called schwannomatosis.
Schwannomatosis, yes, that's right.
There are 3 three different categories, NF1 being the most common
of the three.
Yep. And also joining us is Naraini Manan. She's an actuarial science lecturer who lives with neurofibromatosis. Yes. Naraini has told us she was diagnosed at the age of 33 because you had a growth, gone through many surgeries and, okay now, would you say?
So far, it's okay. But the effect is that I cannot walk too much. The water retention on my legs.
Because of the extensive surgery
that
you had,
because of the surgery that I had in 2011.
And are you on medication?
No.
Nothing?
There's no medication for NF.
So everything as normal?
Yeah.
Just looking out and...
Just control, monitor whether the growth coming back or not, that's all.
Mm-hmm. Have doctors gone through your prognosis? What is life going to look like for you? Is that change in lifestyle? Anything that you need to do in particular? Because it's beyond your control, really. I don't think you can do. Can you do very much to control the tumors to grow along your nerves?
For me, it's quite a different lifestyle after I have the tumor. Because before this, I'm a very active person. But now I have to be less active due to the condition that I have on my groin. But anyway, I think the life is same as before. Mm-hmm. It's just that the walking, that's all.
Right. Mm-hmm. You need to do less.
The rest is okay.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Fair enough. Dr. Hazlina, what is the prevalence in Malaysia? Do we know?
Oh, so unfortunately, for a lot of these rare disorders in Malaysia, we don't have local data. But if we take from a global kind of perspective, so for NF, it's about 1 in 4,000 if we go by the American numbers. Yeah. And then, of course, for the NF2, so NF1, which is about 1 in 4,000, and then NF2, which is rarer at 1 in 40,000, and then also the schwannomatosis is also quite rare. So I think Naraini was saying earlier when I was talking to her that she has a sort of support group that she's identified about 15 people.
I think it's close to 25.
25,
like that, yeah.
And also, are doctors diagnosing it correctly or are they missing the diagnosis? Because rare diseases are not as easy to diagnose.
Yeah, sure. So maybe Naraini can share from the other families whether or not they had a delay in the diagnosis. So for example, they went to the first doctor and then they were told it was something else. And then
they always say because the growth is so small, they just take it as nothing much to consider. But we think it's something wrong with us because the growth keep growing. So I searched for a doctor and the first doctor said, okay, we remove it, just what we call a local surgery. But the root is still there. That's why it's growing. After 2 years, I go back to the hospital and do the surgery. Until there's one doctor said, why not you go for a treatment, a good treatment? And my friend, luckily, she know someone from HKL. So I made an appointment. I go see the doctor that know a little bit about NF. So at that time, I have an infection already. So I go for the plastic surgery and that's how it ends.
And the first doctor already told you you had neurofibromatosis?
Yeah, but the doctor don't know anything about it. I teach them. So I do a lot of research on it.
Yes, well, if he didn't know much, how did he know it was NF?
The biopsy.
Okay.
Yeah. So the biopsy is still there saying that I have an F. I still remember the doctor with a blank face and asked me, what is an F? And he asked for the senior, asking for what is an F. So I'm looking there in Spanish. I said, I know what is an F. So I tell a little bit about my research on NF.
Okay. Yeah. You roughly knew you had NF.
Yeah.
Any family history?
No.
None at all?
None of my family have it.
Okay.
So it's a hard thing to explain to my family.
Sure.
Yeah.
So yours was, would you say, Dr. Hazlina, this was a spontaneous case of how the gene sort of decided to mutate?
Yeah. I think so. So how old are your other family members, your siblings? Are they younger than you?
No, I'm the youngest.
You're the youngest.
Yeah, I'm the youngest.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's also an important piece of information because it could be if she had younger siblings that they just haven't started to show because in Oraini's case, she only showed it at 30. But since they're older, perhaps it suggests that hers was a spontaneous change. Although Noraini hasn't had any genetic testing, so her diagnosis was based on the biopsy.
And how important is genetic testing?
I mean, it's important for the family to know.
But we're sure that there is one gene and, you know, this gene test is actually worth doing.
So for NF1, 95% of people who get tested for NF1 will be positive for a change in that particular gene. For NF2, it's about 65% for that particular gene. So yes, they are in the case of 5% where there could be other genes that are involved or something else happening in the DNA that's causing NF. Similarly, for the 35% in NF2, it could be some other gene that has yet to be discovered. And actually, about 30% of the NF cases are spontaneous changes. So spontaneous changes in the known gene. So there's one gene that we know that affects 95% of people with NF1. So the genetic testing is pretty definitive in that sense.
Okay, and should Noraini's family now go and get this gene test done?
Because so far, my family is okay.
Yeah.
None of the members had the NF.
And the thing is this, Dr. Azli, now once you get, you know, you have the gene, what do you do? You can't do very much about it.
Yeah,
can you?
I mean, that
you can't prevent it.
Yeah, it's true. That's why some of my friends reluctant in marriage. Mm. They don't want to get involved in marriage because nobody wants us, especially the one that have appeared on the skin mm-hmm. or the face. They're very shy.
Right. And also, you are carrying this gene when you have children,
yes, you can
right?
transfer you as the carrier can transfer the gene of NF to your children.
Mm-hmm. So it has stopped you from moving along, getting married and starting a family?
I'm married for 3 years already. Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
Yeah, thank you. I have a very loving husband who take care of me. But unluckily, I don't think I will have a children because of my age of 51 already. And I have diabetes and high blood, so it's quite dangerous. But anyway, it's okay. My life is okay. I'm happy with that, with my husband. So just that now, since we don't have kids, so we are helping my friends NF give their support on emotion and knowledge on where to get treatment and how is it, how to bear with social life, something like that. That's how I deal with my life now.
Yeah. So in the support group, can you share whether or not the families that have perhaps one affected child already, does that sort of affect how they their decision on whether or not they have other children?
Yeah, because this parent has a very young age, around 5 years, already have NF.
NF1?
Yeah, NF1, and also some have NF2. Mm-hmm. So the life will be expected because they have to pay for the bills and also the life of children with the social that, you know, kids like to eject.
Bully. Yeah.
And there's one person who's very strong mother. His son has been having the NF2, because the tumor on the brain and also on the eyes. So they have to remove part of the area near to the eyes, and they look different from other kids. So, you know, the kids like to make a joke on him. Mm-hmm. But anyway, now he's okay. The life of school is okay. But before this, you know, kids, they like to play around. So the son being down with people make jokes on him. They don't want to go to school. And also, there's one kid who has suffering on the backbones. Mm-hmm. So it's hard for them
tumor
to walk.
Tumor on the nerve near the backbone.
On the nerve, because it attacked on the nerve.
Sure. How did you cope when you were diagnosed at the age of 33?
First, it's quite hard because I feel sad, very painful, because I think, why God give this to me? But after a while, I said that, okay, this is a challenge for me that God gave, so I have to take the challenge. And I took out the mindset from negative to positive. You have to fight, be strong and fight for your own life. Because NF is something that is not easy to deal. It deals with everyday life. And the tumor keep on growing. Sometimes it's going very big, so it touch your nerve. Yeah. When it touch your nerve, it's very painful. I told you, very painful. And the doctor said that, yeah, it's not cancer, so you just wait. It's very frustrating.
Of course. Yeah. I'm going to be very civil and ask you how you met your husband.
It's a long story, but it's very short. We start with friends. And after a while, he's a very caring person. Every time I go for a treatment, for the surgery, he's the first person who's going to visit me.
And you're very honest. You were very honest.
Yeah, I'm very open, I'm very honest.
From the
he
beginning.
He knows whatever happened to me, he knows. So we're just friends, we're good friends. And luckily, he said, okay, let us get married. First, my mom's not agreed with that. We take around 10 years after the break-off, and she's the only one.
Why did mom disagree?
I think because he also has condition, the brain, because of the robberies. They smashed the head injury. So my mom said, how will he take care of you? Because you need somebody that can take care of you, because you're having many, many, many medical illness, issues. Medical issue. So after a while, I said, okay, I will leave him, let him be aware, take other people, right? But he come back to me. I think because God say, you are the one. And after a while, before I decide to marry him, I say to myself, okay, if I decide this, I have to be strong. We have to take care of each other. Mm. And we have to be happy. That's all. Don't care about what people think about you. Yeah? You are the one who live the life. Yeah. That's all.
But you need to be sure.
Yeah, don't need to be shy. Don't need to be down. Because you can be sad for a while. It's okay. But you have to stand up again. Be strong.
What was your family support like when you were diagnosed?
My family take care of me during the recovery of the injury after the operation. My sister-in-law is a very caring person. He take care of me. And my mom is also giving support, giving what we
encouragement.
Call? Encouragement to me.
I'm amazed you're an actuarial science lecturer. I mean, I always look up to actuaries. Involved. I mean, you've got to be geniuses in this area. I mean,
I'm a lecturer at UITM Shah Alam, Faculty Computer Science and Mathematics. And it's quite hard because you have an F and you have to struggle with actuarial science. It's not easy. But luckily, I was support from my colleagues, my boss, very supporting. So, yeah, I enjoy it to be an actuarial lecturer. And my shared, students very
And you intense. Shared with the students about your condition?
No, I don't share it. Because for me, I only share it with the person who know about an F or who want to know about an F. And to share with my students, I don't think so, unless they ask for it.
Right.
Okay. And now that you have about 15 people who have been identified with NF and part of this group, Dr. Azlina, are you working with them to find out a little bit more about this gene?
So I think the support group is important to give emotional and psychological support. I got to know Noraini just very recently as well through the Malaysian Rare Disorders Society. And one thing that when I was talking to her about the genetic testing, of course, that would be my angle. Just asking her, you know, how many of her members had been tested and where do they get tested and is there a local service for it. So at the moment, I think UMMC, they send it overseas. So, you know, I mean, that's, I think, also something very important for us as the, you know, the genetic community within Malaysia, you know, to think about providing these services for the family so that it's not so costly. In terms of research, so far, I think there isn't anybody kind of working on a research on NF in Malaysia, but there are a number of different groups worldwide. And actually, there's now a clinical trial for NF because there's just been actually a drug that's been approved to help to stop the growth of the tumour.
So clinical trial here in Malaysia as well?
They don't have it in Malaysia. Yeah. What I learned is that they have it in Washington State. They have a centre looking specific for neurofibromatosis.
And, you know, if there is a chance that, you know, they do clinical trials in this part of the world, will you be a part of it?
Yeah, I can be a part of it. Like a collaboration between MRTS and the society at overseas. Because I think the focus now for overseas, maybe they have more money and research can be done. But Malaysia, they're more concentrated on the disease that can cause death. But for NF1, the cause of death is not there unless NF2. For NF1, it's just that the life will be affected. Like mine, I cannot walk really fast. Mm. Yeah, so for doctor, they don't think it's a thing to do research. But I'm looking for it. I can do collaboration with doctors if they want to, because my area is actuarial science. I can do a lot of research on that. But the data is not there. It's so hard to
it's
do
not
research
enough.
Without data.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, it's very little
And I think
data.
It's important to offer a platform such as this, because there may be other groups, other people that may be living with
may,
NF. And
they may
don't,
be out there
they don't know. Yeah.
Who don't know about our group, because our group is very small. And we try to add some more people willing to get knowledge on NF.
Yeah. I mean, I think it, especially for rare diseases, because it's so rare, you know, sometimes you have a child that has it and, you know, no one else that you know of has that same condition. And what you go through caring for a child like that is very unique, right? Mm-hmm. I just met a mother the other day and she was caring for two of her daughters for 30 years without any support group, you know, no one else that she knew of had the same condition as her sisters. And she said it was very difficult because everything was, you know, she had to to find out from scratch. You know, it was all the troubleshooting she had to do on her own. There was no tips
from
anybody
else. Yeah, it's true. That's happened to me. Yeah. I do my own research, everything, my own. And this group, just recently, we had it. So at the time, I treat myself as being a lonely ranger.
There's a chance that these growths can actually become cancerous.
Yes, right? The doctor told me about it. If you keep on saving the tumor, it can be a cancer. So don't keep the tumor a long time.
Right.
Get the treatment.
So from a benign state, it can actually become
malignant.
Yes,
it can be a cancer.
Not so common, but it can happen.
Yeah. Not so common, but it can be.
What else? Yeah. Complications from this condition?
NF1 is not affected right too much, but NF2 I can tell about my friends. First, it start with the backbones, cannot walk, have to use the wheelchairs. Then it goes to the ears, cannot hear. After that, it goes to eyes, cannot see.
And these are all growth, different types of
growth? Yeah, they grow inside.
They grow on the nerves.
And on the nerve. They push the nerve. And unluckily, she passed away. That's the sad thing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So with NF2, hearing loss is a very common symptom. And gradually, as Noraini was sharing, they also can go blind.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So in your support group, where do you get your information from?
From
just your own research? Or
the experience, all the members. And also information from doctors, that collaboration with MRDS, and that's all I think. Mm-hmm. And do some research. You know, now there's a digital learning, right?
Yep.
So just get the information from the FB, from the internet.
The right information.
Yeah, the right information. That's why that's good, because I don't just go through information from FB whatsoever. I make sure what you said just now, the right information.
She has an analytical mind, you see.
Yeah,
as a mathematician,
the right information.
Yeah. Do you think there should be more doctors in the support group, though?
Yeah, of course.
What there type of doctor, though? Dr. Aslina?
Genetic.
Mm-hmm. We need. Well, you got one here.
Yeah, I know. Just
clinical geneticist.
The scientist.
That's why my friends asked for. They said that, why don't a doctor be a member of our group WhatsApp? Like genetic, plastic surgery, right? But I said, doctors very hard to spare time with us. Mm-hmm. So you just bear on our experience first. Then if you want to go treatment, you go to see the doctor. Because the doctor don't have much time to do all the talking, right?
But I think
hopefully from the show, you know, there's a doctor out there listening who has a special interest in NF.
Especially young doctors, right?
That's right.
Because they need to learn about NF. Mm.
The awareness of it.
Yeah, the awareness of it.
So it's interesting that diagnosis is quite clear. Mm-hmm. Once you get the growth for biopsy.
Yeah.
It is quite clear.
Yeah.
It's just after that, the management and
helping
you
manage
through
your
it.
Life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And also, I'll just mention too, if there are any clinicians, that just this month, actually, the American Academy of Pediatricians and the American College of Medical Genetics and Genomics, very long name, they produced a report on the health supervision for children with NF type 1. And actually, it's very comprehensive, you know, so they kind of address all the different symptoms and what they suggest doing. So that's, I think, something very important from the medical side, you know, for the experts to kind of come up with.
Last week event, is it?
This is from America. That they just published a report. Yeah.
Okay.
So if there are any doctors who perhaps you have a NF patient in your clinic and you're wondering how to improve care for them, you know, you can kind of look that up. The health supervision for children with NF type 1.
And so it is Neurofibromatosis Awareness Month, the month of May.
Oh, yeah, it's May.
So what's happening? You've got activities involved?
Yeah, there's so many things that we plan to do it, but unluckily everybody is busy. But we started with this interview, and coming December, we plan for a family day for NF. So everybody can give a call if they want for NF members and also for others with NF.
And is there an email address that people can get in touch with you?
So if they'd like to get in touch, there's Malaysian Rare Disorder Society. Yeah. They can look that up and just email them and tell them that you are looking for support group for NF. Alternatively, there's also a closed group Facebook account.
Salam VIP.
Neurofibromatosis Malaysia. And there's also an Instagram, NF_Malaysia. So you can send a message through there.
Okay. But get the diagnosis first and then.
Yeah, just get the biopsy first. Diagnose it first. Make sure you are was in an F, you get an F, you can contact us. Yeah.
Just to
or
understand.
Or even if you suspect that, you know, your child may have, or you're worried about yourself, right? Yeah. You just want to reach out.
I think MRDS has other illness or rare disease, right?
Yeah. But it's a good place to start.
Yeah, mm-hmm. A good place to contact MRDS.
They'll direct the people to the relevant support groups.
Yes.
So it's good to know there is a support group for neurofibromatosis.
Yeah.
Would you have a message for us, Noraini?
Be strong.
That's a good
and
message.
Just live a normal life.
You've done well. You've done well. Your message, Dr. Hazlina?
Well, I mean, thank you so much for coming on the show with us to spread awareness about NF. And I hope that, you know, through the show, you get more members and
so that we can
help more people. You know, ultimately, that's what this is all about.
Yeah. Mm. So thank you both very much for joining us today. Just to, you know, go through again, neurofibromatosis is a genetic condition. It causes tumors to grow along your nerves. There's NF1, NF2, and something called schwannomatosis. So just awareness this month of May. Thank you for joining us today. Dr. Hazlina Ahmad Anwar, our neurogeneticist, together with Noraini Manan, an actuarial science lecturer, talking to us about neurofibromatosis in our Brainwave series on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.